Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Let's get the latest from Ukraine. Putin and Kim Jong-un got together yesterday, and that can't be good news for Ukraine, can it, Joseph Lindsley?
Bob, good afternoon from Lviv. Clearly we see great collaboration between these two tyrannical regimes. And as you look at, I think most people are aware of, what kind of country North Korea is, and then yet more evidence of how Russians behave. Big story here in Ukraine, a photograph is circulating of a Ukrainian prisoner of war decapitated by the Russians. You can unfortunately see his head on the hood of a truck. Continued. As is so often the case, people think that they can't be angrier. Hmm. And you see something like that that happens. You could interpret the meetings of Putin in North Korea in two ways. It could be scary. So, what would these two countries do together, with no moral inhibitions? Or, others say maybe this looks a little bit comical and sad. The fact that, once mighty Russia has to turn to the little rogue regime in North Korea. So there are two different takes on it. In the same way that there are two different takes on the Russian ships that are in the Caribbean Sea. That makes some people very nervous. I think especially some people in the U.S. But for you, as we've said before, for Ukrainians, they say, well, it's safer for Russian ships to be in the Caribbean Sea than in the Black Sea because Ukrainians have been so adept at destroying Russian ships in the Black Sea. And, another big story that I've neglected irresponsibly to report in the past week or so, but, after the White House announced a new round of sanctions against Russia, it caused a lot of chaos, financial chaos in Russia. Huge Russian banks like Gazprom Bank, people could not log in to their bank accounts online. And so this has not really been reported very much, but among people really paying attention to victory for Ukraine, that new round of sanctions has made a big difference. It's caused a lot of chaos financially within Russia. Still, at the same time, there's this unusual thing that the U.S. Treasury Department has given waivers to, it seems, 10 Russian banks, specifically because they work in the energy sector. And those waivers go until November 1st, 2024, at which point maybe they'll be reviewed. But so that's a curious thing. Some people say maybe this is part of the chess game. Washington wants to have additional leverage, if Russia tries to escalate in some way. So it's hard to know for sure. And then another thing that's difficult to know for sure is this topic we've discussed so much, the F-16s, the American fighter jets. And today, a member of the Ukrainian parliament, Oleksandr Ustinova, she said she thinks that the delays of F-16s are deliberate, that the United States is deliberate delaying training so that the arrival of F-16s in the U.S. In Ukraine will be delayed. This does echo, what I've heard from my friends who are F-16 pilots, retired F-16 pilots, the United States really doesn't want to send this top level technology to Ukraine, but they want to claim that they're doing so. It was in May of 2023 when President Biden said, finally he changed his mind. He said, we're going to send F-16s to Ukraine. But before that, in 2022, he said, quote, that's called World War III if you send these to Ukraine. And so officially, these are supposed to be on the way. Last fall, they were going to be here by December. We heard in January they'd be here by June. Well, it's now June. And so there's still a lot of questions on that. So I think when we look at the sanctions and the F-16s, there's a lot of questions on these things, but we do see, at least in some areas, some steady progress, especially with those sanctions.
Joseph, you'll love hearing this text from one of our listeners. Hi, Bob, for your conversation with Joseph Lindsley. Please share that this past Sunday, Father's Day, our church in Glencoe, North Shore United Methodist, hosted an amazing group of Ukrainian active duty musicians touring several locations in the country. The group is called Ukrainian Cultural Force, and they are each talented professional musicians who halted their musical careers to fight for their country. There was a violinist who also played the organ, a pianist, a bandura player, that's a Ukrainian instrument similar to a lute, and two vocalists. They are all incredibly talented professional musicians who will return to the battlefield after this tour. They shared their music and stories. It was a moving and heart-wrenching experience, so beautiful and such a strong reminder of the human connection with these wonderful people and their culture. That's really something, isn't it?
Wow, yeah, those are powerful, lovely words. And you know, imagine, you know, you're such a Ukrainian soldier musician, and you get to go to the United States knowing that you know it's not over. You have to come back and, you know, go back to life in the trenches. But hopefully that, I can imagine how that gave those Ukrainians some energy and to show Americans how much, you know, the two countries have in common. And this, you know, I'm sure a lot of people saw former President Trump's remarks at that conference. I think it was in Florida, and he was kind of strangely praising President Zelensky. He said he's a good salesman, but he said, you know, every time he goes to America, he leaves with $60 billion. And, you know, and it's amazing that people that talk about freedom, you know, miss, I mean, like what that listener just wrote in, you know, the real examples of heroes, people that are facing, you know, this tyrannical enemy every day. It's just a source of inspiration. And yet in snide comments by some political leaders, all of that is dismissed. And, you know, President Trump inaccurately said that, you know, acted like Zelensky just left with, you know, buckets of $60 billion, which we know most of that money stays in the U.S. and is used to buy new weapons for America. So it's good to hear that many Americans are inspired by the individual Ukrainians who probably are doing what Americans would do if they faced a similar situation.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot to be inspired about. Joe Lindsley, thanks as always, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Till tomorrow. Thank you, Bob.